This morning in our sermon series, our teaching series, Letters from Peter, we're going to finish up 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. And so we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. So I'll go ahead and get us started. Of course, we just by way of reminder, Peter is writing to the early church, to Christians that have gone through a period of suffering. They are looking at even more suffering that'll be coming to them, and so Peter just feels led to just to write to them, to encourage them, and he's just been dropping theological bombs on these guys in a very good way. And he's going to do that again this morning as well in our text. But he's going to shift gears here, and he's going to talk to these Christians in terms of being citizens of heaven on earth. And we need to know that as Christians, there is a right and a wrong way for us to live on this earth. So we want to be mindful of that. And so, do you want to check the camera, too?
Which one?
I just want to make sure. I'm kind of shifting a little bit because most of our people are... That one's fine. I just want to make sure that that one's good for however you want it. I had no idea we were going to lose all of our shade. So, anyways. Thank you, Ewok. So, anyways, yes. Peter's going to... give us instructions on what it means to be a citizen of heaven while we live on this earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to you, this has been, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pray, and then we'll unpack this. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We thank you that we can worship you out here. We can worship you anywhere. And Lord, I pray that we'll just take a look at your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would do the work that only you can do and open our eyes and our hearts to what is God's will as we study your word this morning. Lord, bless our children. We thank you for all the kids here today. Lord, bless Barnyard Brews and Crystal and Troy. Lord, we thank you for them being here with us as well, and for the connections we've been able to make with people from the community and just fellowshipping as a church family as well. Lord, we offer this service up to you, and we ask that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's get to work here. 1 Peter 2:13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him. Our governments, our leader, I know this is hard to hear sometimes, and I could talk to 100 people and 50 people would hear it one way, and 50 people would hear it a different way, and another election cycle would come, and then they'd flip-flop, and the other 50 would be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. The other would go, oh my gosh, what? Why would this guy say this? Right. But these governors are sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Peter shifts gears here. Now, he's going to get back into the real powerful theological truths that he's been just delivering throughout the first, basically, two chapters of this first letter that he wrote. But he shifts gears because God wants us to know, it doesn't matter how good of our theology is, how much theological truth we have. That stuff's all super important, but if we're not living it out in our lives, then it does almost no good. It can almost be counterproductive. It's almost of no advantage at all. Okay, these things that we're learning about have to transform us as Christians in the way that we live. We are citizens of heaven first, even before being citizens of the United States of America. Now, I say this, I say it all the time, I say it gladly, without any hesitation. America is the closest thing to heaven this world has ever seen. Yes. With our freedom, our opportunities. Yes, there are some imperfections, but guess what? That's called being on earth. You won't find a place without some imperfections. Our imperfections are almost nothing compared to a lot of the parts of this place that we live in. And yet, it's still earth, and then we still have problems, and we still have a great spiritual awakening, quite honestly, that we need to see here in this country that we live in. So we are citizens of heaven, and our desire, and what I believe Peter is getting at, is that if we want to see a real change in culture, do we want to see a change in our culture in many, many, many ways? The answer is yes. The way to do that is to follow Christ on this earth and to bring the things that we believe and that we live for, okay, in our heavenly citizenship, and bring those to earth, praying as we do so that the kingdom of God would be established on this earth as it is in heaven. And while we are here, we just read Peter say this, Paul will also say it, Jesus also says it, that we are to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's while we are here. We are not called to, cause problems and to disobey and to do all of the things that sometimes we see happening. We are called to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And I know that's not always easy. And the only time we defect from that is if Caesar tells us to disobey God. And that does happen sometimes. Okay, this is Peter saying this, who's going to be crucified upside down by who many believe is Nero, the emperor, who would light his garden up with the burning bodies of Christians just for entertainment purposes. Like, this was a bad, bad person. This was not whoever you like. I don't know who you like. Even in a small group like this, I don't know if you loved Reagan or if you loved whoever you may have loved, JFK, whoever you loved, this was not him. And yet Peter says there's a way that as we honor the leadership that is above us, it is a way that we reflect an obedient heart to God. It shows that we are like Christ, because Jesus did the exact same thing. And again, Jesus taught us, you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You don't lie to Caesar. You don't cheat Caesar. You don't argue with Caesar. You don't fight with Caesar. You don't start revolutions. You don't do all of these things. You render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Peter says here, the Word of God says here, that our conduct on this earth... Now, this isn't easy, is it? It's not easy. There are boundaries. There are certain limits in certain ways, okay? But generally speaking, we're not here to overthrow government systems other than the gospel of Jesus Christ changing the hearts of us and leaders and us being good citizens as a witness to them, okay? If you want to see a revival in your culture, follow Christ and be a good citizen while you're here, because it's a testimony. It's a testimony. And Peter says here that by obeying and being good citizens and bringing heaven to earth, he says, this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. I need a shade. I need some shade.
Why don't you
or something.
Stand over there and we'll move the camera. We'll move the camera.
Yeah, we'll move the camera. We're good.
You need to go over there.
Well, there's no shade over there either. Okay.
You want to move? Even what? Well. Yeah, right here. Right here, even. There you go.
I just have a bad feeling that I am going to get scorched. I am
so
sorry.
Okay, brother.
That.
That's okay. Here, keep going a little more. Get in the shade, bro.
All right. It's a little bit of a homey feeling this week. And I just want to say one more time, this entire area was shady.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's... Yeah, we can just, we'll continue here. But Peter says, by doing good, by being a good citizen, by obeying those in authority over us, says, by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, there was a lot of ignorant and foolish people, a lot of things happening in the early church, a lot of false accusations and terrible things that were said about the first generation of Christians. So I would imagine these are at least some of what Peter has in mind. Okay, these are just a couple of examples. So there were rumors and false accusations of the early church that we were cannibals. They talk about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and their Messiah and all of these things. They must be cannibals. Okay? The first Christians were accused of incest. What are you talking about? These guys just got married. They're brothers and sisters. We're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. These were some of the accusations, the false statements that were made. We see some of that stuff even in modern times. It's a little bit different. It's hard to come at Christianity straight on, so they'll just make up lies. Atheism. So in the Roman world, there were, just an uncountable amount of gods. All sorts of different deities. And Christians were persecuted not because they worshipped Yahweh or not because they worshipped even Jesus of Nazareth as God. They were persecuted mostly because they said, and rightfully so, he is not a God, he is the only God. So they were considered atheists. Like, you don't really believe in God. You don't believe in the gods. You think out of all the thousands of gods, there's only one. You may as well be an atheist. Treason and disloyalty to Rome. This was another one of these foolish arguments that Peter is talking about, that when we are good, faithful citizens, we can actually put these false accusations and actually put them down. What, they have their own king. He's the king. They say Jesus of Nazareth is the king. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Jesus of Nazareth is a king? Now, of course, they would get a big laugh out of that. Well, then, if you have a king, you must have some kind of a kingdom and an army and a loyalty to somebody other than Caesar's. And we could go on and on, okay? Peter says that when we... Thank you. Peter says that when we are good citizens on this planet, to our governors, to our emperors, to our presidents, to our leaders, it puts it down. It shows the world that we actually do have a higher priority than the things going on in this world. It shows the world that our faith is more than just words. It shows the world that we don't have to be all upset and caught up into the things of this world, even if there are things that we don't agree with at times. We have marching orders from a king. That's our priority.
Right.
Yeah.
Verse 16, live as people who are free, Peter says. Not using your freedom. This right here... I feel like Paul, if he was writing a letter to the American church, this would be one of the first things he reiterates. Live as people who are free. We love our freedom in the United States. I hope you do.
Yes.
I hope you do. But we've done the opposite of what Peter says here. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Peter tells them that they should be so free. Listen to me, church. We should be so free that people notice. Because, again, what this is crescendoing, what this is funneling down into, is that Jesus Christ has taken care of our sin problem and made us a citizen of his kingdom. We should be free. And Christians are free.
Yes.
If the Son sets you free, you are free. We should not be bound up in anxiety. We should not be bound up in the cares of this world. And while I think that many times a good counseling session is in order, most of all, we just need to make a decision to be free.
Amen.
And to believe that the Word of God is telling us the truth. Be free. See, if your sins are forgiven, you don't have to be bound up in shame, condemnation. If you know that your citizenship is in heaven, then you don't have to worry about the cares of this world. We're all going to die. Every one of us will die. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be bound up in that anxiety. We don't have to get carried away with those things. We are free. And be so free that our friends notice. We can let water roll off our back too. And I have a hard time with that sometimes. We can forgive because we've been forgiven. Sometimes that freedom comes when we just start to forgive. Let's get in the way too. We should be so free, but not free to sin. We are never free to sin. That's the whole point of our faith. We are not free to make sin a part of our lives. We are free from sin. We are not free to sin. The follower of Christ says, I do not have to go back into the slavery of the sin that once held me captive. I am going to live as somebody that is free.
Hallelujah.
And if you are a Christian, let me just tell you something right now. You are free from the penalty of every sin you have ever committed. Why? Because Jesus paid that penalty.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But what Satan will tell you is, okay, cool. Let's go rack up the debt. Let's go sin some more.
Right.
Because it's all about me. Because we've been raised, you know, as little kids, to be the center of the universe.
True.
It's me. You are set free. Let me just tell you something right now. You are set free from the consequences of your sin. But let me tell you something else. You are set free from the power of the sin that enslaves us. So walk in that freedom. Sometimes people say, well, man, Christianity, are you kidding me? There's nothing there. Can't do anything. And you look at the person who's going to go out Friday night, and they're going to get drunk. They're going to carouse. They're going to do all these things, and they can't stop. They can't. They might take a break, but they got to do it. That's all they've been thinking about all week.
It's true.
Or whether it's sexual, or whether it's all of these different things. If you are a Christian, let me just tell you something. While we will always have struggles with sin and this war with sin, we have been given the power by the risen Savior to overcome the power of the sin right here and right now. Peter reminds them one more time, honor everyone. When we can honor everyone, it shows that we believe these things and that they're actually real to us.
Yes.
Love the brotherhood. That's this. This is a small little microcosm. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor again. I wish I could tell you that this emperor was Mr. Rogers. I wish I could tell you that this emperor was somebody that you would, you know, really want to live under.
Yeah.
And I do believe the Word of God says, I know it says, there's a time for war. There are times, there's a time for action. There's a time when somebody is not here for the general good. But we got to be really careful with that. Honor the emperor. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For what credit is it if you, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? We sometimes get ourselves in trouble, get consequences. You're not, that's just what should happen. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Again, Peter is showing us kingdom life here on this earth. What Christians should be, how we should be living. I fully understand that most of us haven't heard a sermon on something like this in a long time. I understand that. This is when you're looking at the text, you're going, what am I going to say about this stuff? Well, listen, this is God speaking.
Yes, it is. Yes,
when
it
we
is.
Read this, you want to hear God speak, read this out loud. This is God's word that we're looking at here. And he starts to turn the heat up a little bit more. He talks about servants being subject to your masters. A good analogy for our context is when we're working, we need to be good staff, good employees. That's not always easy either. Sometimes our politicians and sometimes our supervisors drive us nuts or whatever. But again, Christians are to have a heart and a heart posture of humility. We are to be under authority.
Yes.
We are to be in submission to those in authority. And I just want to say this, and I'll say it again here in a minute. A servant is never above their master. This is exactly how the Lord Jesus Christ lived. This is exactly how Jesus lived. This is the man that changed the world.
Yes.
And he did not build an army to come at Caesar. And he could have. Jesus easily could have circumvented all of that. I like to mention this anytime it comes up. Jesus is the King of heaven. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would come down here and start fighting with you. One of these days, his kingdom is going to come down here and start fighting with people. Jesus could have called down legions of angels, which is in their mind 2,000 thousands of years ago just meant you can't count that high. That's what that word means. When you see legion in the Bible, you can't count that high. Now, one angel overthrew 185,000 Assyrian army soldiers in the old time. So he could have come at Caesar directly if he felt like it. We're to be under authority. We're to be like Jesus in this world. He wants people to come by faith. He wants his people to live with a heavenly mindset, but in an earthly context, to be in the world, to not be of the world. Peter says here, but if you do good, God, this is a precious thing in the sight of God. If you suffer for doing good, understand that no one is telling you that anything that you go through is going to be just overlooked. God is very aware of the suffering of his people. Exodus 4:29, then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. God is aware of the trials that we go through. God is aware when things that should not happen, happen. God is aware of these trials, and it is very near to God when we humble ourselves in this life and say, I am willing to suffer. I am willing to show the world that I trust in God more than anything this world can offer me. Because if we're just holding on to this world, it's going to fail us at some point. It will. There's, you know, it's not going to be enough. You could be the best citizen. You could do everything. You could just love this life and be a good citizen and do all the things and be the nicest person in the world. And then when you're on your deathbed, it's not enough. So this world, when we go through suffering, it shows the world that our hope is anchored in something greater than anything this world can provide. It shows that we love God above our own lives.
Amen.
In Iran, you know, the place that is in a lot of turmoil right now. And we love our military, and people have different opinions on what they feel is right and wrong, but I generally am right on with what we see happening. But I want you to understand something. The fastest growing Christian population on the planet is in that country. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are trying to do what we're reading here right now. They're saying, I don't want my leadership. I don't support killing Jews or Christians. I don't want this, but they are poor. They have no weapons. They have no anything other than to pray to God that he would change that. So we don't want to get too excited about anything going on over there, because many, many, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are over in that country right now, and they are telling the world that we will go through suffering, we will go through anything, and we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to follow Christ because we love him above even our own lives. Suffering is also used as a way to draw others to him. This church that Peter was teaching and writing to, it was growing because the world was looking at them. And they were imprisoned, and they were disenfranchised, and they were mistreated, and yet they would not stop worshiping. They would not stop coming to church. They would not stop talking about Jesus. That is a testimony to people that there is something supernatural going on. And maybe most importantly of all, these sufferings that God is very aware of, that Peter tells us to endure and to be faithful in, it makes us like Jesus. It brings us to a point where we can identify with Christ. Jesus suffered for things that he never did. He was homeless, mocked by his family, couldn't pay his taxes at one point, did a miracle for him and Peter on that one, was betrayed, was arrested on false charges. That's what Peter's saying here. When we live the life God wants us to live, Jesus lived the ultimate life. If when we do good, think of Jesus, yes, and suffer for it, and we endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Let's continue. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. When we're willing to live the life that Peter calls us to here, which is not always easy, it's not a walk in the park. It's not the thing that, you know, would seem like, boy, that just sounds like what I want to tell everybody. This is how we change the world. This is how Christ changed the world. This is how we in one way, share the gospel in a tangible way with people. It shows the world that when we call Jesus the way, the truth, and the life, it shows them that no matter what trial we might go through, no matter what short stick we might take at work or from our government or whatever is going on in life, it shows them that there is something worse that can happen. I'm holding on to Christ because I might lose everything else. And it shows them the great value that Jesus has. 1 Peter 2:22 and first part of 23, he committed no sin. Do you guys know that Jesus did not sin? You will hear silly people tell you things, pop culture. I mean, Jesus wasn't sinless. I mean, come on. Jesus never committed sin. He is the absolute perfect Son of God, the spotless Lamb. In the Old Testament, you didn't sacrifice junk. You sacrificed a spotless Lamb. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Peter continues, Jesus did not deserve to suffer. He never sinned. We have sinned. That's the thing. We have committed sin. Some of our suffering, when we look in the mirror, we see the reason. because of things that we have done. And if we're honest and humble, we can say that. Jesus never did that. He shows us this perfect example of Christ who says, I'm going to come into this world. I am going to humble myself and live this life so that I can identify with all of these people and show an example, Peter says, of how you do this the right way. To love God. You see, Jesus was so focused on God, his will, his word, his glory, his mission, that he could not get caught up in nonsense.
It's true.
I just taught on this Wednesday night. Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance. Man, who made me an arbitrator over your stuff? I'm not worried about your petty stuff, and neither should you be. A man's life is not found in the sum of his possessions. There's things to worry about. That's not one of them. Get over it. That was the Jesus mindset. So focused on the things of God, he could not worry about the petty little things. Jesus did not retaliate. We already talked about how he could have. Jesus taught us that there is great glory that comes through suffering. Without the suffering of the cross, we would never have the hope of eternal life. 2 Peter 2:23b, but continued in trusting himself to him who judges justly. Let's read that all together. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued in trusting himself to him who judges justly. Verse 24, he himself, it's one of the most important verses in your entire Bible. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. When Jesus was reviled, when Jesus suffered, he did not retaliate. He continued to trust in trusting himself to him who judges justly. See, we can be a good citizen, and we can honor the leaders that are above us, and we can do all of those things. Sometimes we get caught off into the quote-unquote civilian affairs. Paul says a good soldier doesn't get caught up in the civilian affairs. You ever see soldiers? Tyler knows this probably better than any of us. I mean, if you're doing something, you're focused on what you're doing. Sometimes I've seen on TV and stuff, you know, the soldiers are just there. Their presence is enough. There might be some other things going on, but they're not focused on that. They're focused on whatever the mission is. And Jesus did the same thing. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. A lot of the things that we have angst about in this life, and I'm one of these people sometimes as well, we get all fired up because we do not believe that God is going to fix it one of these days. So we got to fix it. We got to speak up. We got to do this. We got to do that. We don't actually believe that there is a God in heaven that is going to justly judge everything. So you can leave it alone. So I can leave it alone. I want to win every battle and sometimes lose a war. I'm not letting go of anything. Jesus let go of that stuff. Why? He knew that he can entrust himself to him who judges justly, and every sin that was committed against Christ will be reconciled one of these days. Either at his cross, because Jesus came to save sinners and to call sinners friends. So even those that nailed him to the cross, even those that mocked him, even those that betrayed him, though if they would put their faith in him, then he would deal with their sin on his own cross. Or if they perish without that salvation, they will deal with the holy God in the next life. Yes. Peter continues, and now he gets back into the depth of this biblical ocean of beautiful truth. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree. He bore our sins This is what we call penal substitutionary atonement. I talk about it on a regular basis. We don't talk about it enough as the body of Christ. That every single sin that has ever been committed from the Garden of Eden until the end of human history, every sin must be accounted for and will be accounted for. Every one of your sins. This is what Peter, it's all cascading down into this. You can be a good citizen. You can live this life. You don't have to be a slave to sin because Jesus took our sins on the tree. Your sin, my sins, are not ignored. Jesus took them and says, if you will believe in me, I'm going to be punished for your sins. I'm going to pay the ransom and rescue you from the coming wrath of Almighty God. Those who do not come to Christ essentially say, I'll pay for it myself. You see, we could go down there to Barnyard. I don't know if there have been people down there since we started. They don't have to pay a dime. That's at no charge to them. But there are some people, they'll still throw money. And I don't think they, maybe some of them wouldn't do it, maybe even with a negative attitude. They're like, I'm paying for it. You can't pay for this for me. That's what that's all about. It's free. Someone's going to pay for it. Someone's got to pay for that. It's just not going to be our guest today. Okay. And somebody had to pay for our sins. And Jesus says, you don't have to pay anything. I will pay it. And he took our sins and he bore our sins on in his body. Peter just said a minute ago, he never sinned. Jesus had no sins to pay for on his own, or else he would not be a fit sacrifice to die for us. But Jesus was sinless and is the perfect sacrifice. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Again, so that you can be free. But not free to live for yourself. Not free to live however you want. Not free to disregard the word of God. That is a sign that you have never been saved if that is in your heart. He took our sins on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus healed us of our spiritual cancer. It's killing every one of us. And by his wounds, you have been healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we might live, die to sin and live to righteousness. Again, just like we talked about a minute ago with sin. Your sins, Jesus died and set us free from the penalty of our sin. But he gives us power over sin in this life. In the same way, if you are a Christian, you have been covered in the righteousness of Christ. But it goes even more than that. That you're not only positionally righteous, but Jesus gives us the power to live righteously. Let's close with this. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I love that he says that, because sometimes, and I think every Christian goes through this, maybe you have, I hope you haven't, but I bet you we all have. Sometimes I just think, man, I got saved a long time ago, and there's been a lot of victories, but there's been, setbacks and pitfalls and things that you wish you wouldn't have done, and man, is he still watching over me? Is he still going to save me? Am I still saved? It's like that sheep that forgets that the shepherd's still there. Because sheep are a great analogy because they're not the smartest animals. And I love that Peter says that that you have returned to the shepherd and overseer. Not of your life, although that is true as well. But even more importantly, he is the overseer and the shepherd of your soul.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You are saved. You are saved. When you, if the rapture happens or if we die and go home, he's right there. He's not going to forget about you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to lose track of you. He's going to lovingly corral us into his heavenly kingdom. Peter says, you were straying like sheep. Some of us can remember before we became Christians. This life, I mean, telling somebody some of the half of the things I said today, I mean, you might just laugh someone to scorn. Be a good citizen. My government's a bunch of idiots. I mean, imagine being Jesus, taking that coin with the pagan image on the one side, and he says, render unto Caesar what's his. Be a good citizen. We were straying like sheep, but he says, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We can do these things because Christ did them, setting an example for us, and because our ultimate citizenship and loyalty and hope is in him, we can do the things on this planet that will be an example for other people to come in. Citizens of heaven live out their faith in this world. We're not of this world. We're to be so free that other people look at us and go, wow,